Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I hope that everybody is having a wonderful Pesach. If you are following the calendar that I posted on sighttotheblind.com. Just a reminder, you're supposed to take all the leavened bread out of your house. There should be no leavened ingredients or materials inside of your house the entire week. What I used to do was take all the foods that had leaven in it and put it in my car. And then I reread a verse that says you must remove it far from your border, which I can't even keep it in the car no more. So I moved it across the sidewalk into the trash can. So I basically threw them all away. We are getting better over the years, where we used to have a lot of leaven. Like, I'm talking about cookies, snacks, chips, all types of leaven in the house. And now we only have maybe a couple of packages here and there, nothing major. Also, it is a double offering. So because it's the 14th day of the first month, that is a Shabbat. 7, 14, 21, 28. And so when you offer on Shabbat, you also have to do a double offering, if you so choose. I mean, you have 7 days to do this, but you're supposed to give an offering by fire for 7 days. So you can do it during the Feast of Matzah tomorrow, or you can start early and do it tonight, and then have it, your last day be before the Shabbat, where you have to offer another offering. So these are part of the ordinances and statutes. It's not just sitting down and having dinner. You have to give an offering. That's what he called us to do. So I know a lot of people who are following whatever calendar that they're following, I'm not hearing people talk about the offerings that are attached to these feast days. And also, you're not supposed to eat leavened products. When I first came into the truth, I was eating pizza and drinking beer. And the Most High kind of nudged me into like, nah, you can't even do this during the whole entire week of Pesach. So you can't go to feast on leavened bread and then you're eating like leavened bread during lunch or drinking a beer at night. Like, it's like you're defeating the purpose of why we do these feast days. I'm really proud of my daughter because I didn't know she even remembered that we're not supposed to eat leavened products. And then she was in a class where they were making bread. And they had like a whole setup of how to make bread from scratch. And they were passing it around for people to eat, and she passed on it. So I think that's smart. Like, the Ruach HaKodesh is really in my 16-year-old daughter. And I wouldn't know unless she told me stories like this. So I'm really proud of her, the fact that she even remembered that we're not supposed to eat any leavened bread during the Feast of Pesach. Now, it made me also think about the last episode when we talked about healing in the Christian church. And people would say, no, I've seen or witnessed people being healed or being healed from being sick through the name Jesus Christ. And it made me come to Jubilees 10. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, then 8, and then 9 through 13. And in the third week of this Jubilee, the unclean devils began to lead astray the children of the sons of Noah and to make to err and destroy them. And the sons of Noah came to Noah, their father, and they told him concerning the devils which were leading astray and blinding and slaying his son's sons. So obviously, the disembodied Nephilim or disembodied giants were wreaking havoc on the sons of men. And Noah had to pray for his son's sons. And Yahuwah Elohanu bade us to bind all. And the chief of the Ruach, Mestima, came and said, Yahuwah, Creator, let some of them remain before me, and let them hearken to my voice, and do all that I shall say unto them. For if some of them are not left to me, I shall not be able to execute the power of my will on the sons of men, for these are for corruption and leading astray before my judgment. For great is the wickedness of the sons of men. And he said, let the tenth part of them remain before him, and let nine parts descend into the place of condemnation. And one of us he commanded that we should teach Noah all their medicines, for he knew that they would not walk in uprightness and not strive in righteousness. So if you're not walking in uprightness and you're not being righteous, that means you open yourself up to disease. So people who go to the Christian churches sick is because the religion is sick. You already opened yourself up to disease. One, you're not following the dietary laws of stop eating unclean foods. You don't have a ruach that teaches you moderation. So you open yourself up to disease and sickness. And we did according to all his words, and all the malignant evil ones we bound in the place of condemnation, and a tenth part of them we left that they might be subject before Satan on the earth. And we explained to Noah all the medicines of their diseases. So when people say, I went to church and I got healed from my sickness, could it mean that there is a chief ruach, may not be Mestima himself, but there's a chief ruach that jumps on these Christian churches and making the people sick, and to keep them bound to this religion and keep them bound to the name of Jesus Christ, when the pastor, the Freemason or Luciferian pastor who can control these demons, says, okay, you're going to be free from your sickness and healing the people that are, you know, sick in the congregation, that the unclean ruach or devil that is wreaking havoc on this person's life could just stop. Has anybody ever thought about that? Like we say sometimes in kidding or being for real that demons have the ability to bless too. So it says that when we explain to Noah all the medicines of their diseases together with their seductions, how we might heal them with herbs of the earth, and Noah wrote down all the things in a sefer as we instructed him concerning every kind of medicine, thus the evil ruach were precluded from hurting the sons of Noah. So being upright and righteous is almost like giving yourself a clean bill of health. Being unrighteous, being in a religion, you open yourself up for demons to play with you and make you sick. And you don't get healed unless, again, maybe a chief demon sees you being sick and says, oh, okay, he tells the demon that he controls, ease up a little bit. We want them bound to this religion. That makes much more sense to me when people tell me that they've been healed by the name Jesus Christ. When I already said that in Acts 4, Kepha says that there is no name given to man under heaven. There is no other name given to man under heaven that they should be saved by. So you tell me you can transliterize the Messiah's name and it would still have the same power when his name is not hard to pronounce? That is the strong delusion that the Most High is talking about. That people do not want to seek truth and want to continue to live in falsehood. It was a wild story out here where this man's wife and his daughter was struck by lightning and died. Now, I don't know if it's a true story or not, because it says that they were leaving the car and they got struck outside, and then they showed some lightning bolt look like it struck inside the house. So I don't know if it's actually telling the truth or not. And when the husband was interviewed, he was fake crying to me. But then I was thinking about what the Book of Enoch says about lightning and thunder. It says, in those days my eyes beheld the secrets of the lightnings and the splendors and the judgment belonging to them. They lightened for a blessing and for a curse according to the will of Yahuwah Sabaoth. So if they did get struck by lightning, it is Yahuwah's will. I can only imagine what curse that these people were in, like what in their bloodline would open them up to a curse of being struck by lightning, or anybody really being struck by lightning. I mean, I think it's a very odd way to go. Like, you see lightning strike trees before. You see them cut them down. But when it comes to striking man, it's always in like the most oddest places. Has anybody seen the most viral video of four people hiding underneath a tree and the lightning struck them? One person died, but all of them just kind of fell to the ground. That's wild to me. And when you read what the lightning and thunder does and be for a blessing, for a curse, it looked like it'd only be for a curse if you get struck by lightning. And there I saw the secrets of the thunder when it rattles above in heaven and its sound is heard. Rattles. When the thunder rattles. The firmament rattles. The habitations also of the earth were shown to me. The sound of the thunder is for peace and for a blessing, as well as for a curse, according to the word of Yahuwah Sabaoth. So imagine every time you hear thunder or see lightning stretch across the sky, I always look at it like that too. I look at it as like, oh, is this for a blessing or is this for a curse? And I overthink it too. Like every time I hear thunder clap or every time I see lightning stretch across the sky, I say, ooh, who's getting blessed or who's getting cursed today? Afterwards, every secret of the splendors and of the lightnings was seen by me for blessing and for fertility. They lighten. Enoch 60, 6 through 8. Every division is divided that the lightning flashes, that its troops immediately obey, and that its cessation takes place during thunder in continuance of its sound. Nor are the thunder and the lightning separated, neither do both of them move with one ruach, yet they are not separated. For when the lightning lightens, the thunder sounds, and the ruach at a proper period pauses, making an equal division between them. For the receptacle upon which their periods depend is as sand. Each of them at a proper season is restrained with a bridle and turned by the power of the ruach, which thus propels according to the spacious extent of the earth. I'm telling you, if we ever see what lies beyond this veil and is stripped bare, we would be amazed of how many things work that we take for granted and we think it works on its own, that's actually held up, pulled together, or stopped by a ruach or by an angel that controls these ruachs. It would look busy. I would think if the Most High ever show us what's underneath this veil, we would see how busy this place looks. Like, can you imagine? Because the sun and the moon getting pulled by a chariot. There's an angel that's over a ruach that controls the clouds. Then you got hail, lightning, rain, snow, wind. You can just imagine like them opening up one of the gates and letting the sun and moon go through it, or opening one of the gates and having wind or hail or snow go through it. On a time clock, that this is what they're supposed to do. What else? What I'm gonna get at? I wanted to talk about the blackouts and the people who are getting caught coming out of the sewers in New York City. If you haven't been noticing in these news stories, that there are maybe 2 to 3 people wearing rubber overalls and rubber boots with headlamps on going into the sewers, and then you see them pop up out of the sewers and run. They don't have any equipment in their hands. So it makes it seem to me, because underneath New York City is like 1 billion gallons of wastewater every single day. Could they possibly reroute this water and flood New York? Say they do one of their little HARPA, DARPA weather modification rituals on New York City, and it rains for maybe 3 or 4 days straight. And then you have the water underneath somehow getting diverted, or a pipe is broken and the water comes up from the ground and coming down from the ground. You could literally wash out New York. I mean, they had a movie about that. I think it was what was it called? 2012 or what was it called? It was some movie about weather that was so crazy. Edge of Tomorrow, I think it was called, where the water flowed throughout the city, like almost like a tsunami throughout the New York City. And then it freezed over. I could see that happening. But they're acting like the cops don't know what's going on. Like, oh, we haven't investigated it yet. Mind you, New York City is set up with all types of flock cameras all around the city. All around the city, there's flock cameras. So when the New York City Police Department say, like, oh, we don't know, and not taking it that serious, that means they're just soft releasing that something else is going to go on. Like, you remember 9/11? Like, a couple of months before 9/11, you had two Israeli art installation teams doing an installation, which really, they were rigging fuses and bombs on the floor where the plane supposedly would have been, where the plane supposedly hit. Now, mind you, it's never been a plane. We was watching CGI, very good CGI at the time. Before CGI became a thing, they released it on 9/11. So where they had these art teams at, that's where the explosions or the planes supposedly hit, were blown out the building. And then, of course, the relative of George Bush, he controlled the head of security for both of those towers, and he pulled the security teams so these vans could come in and lace the entire infrastructure with bombs to be detonated, like a controlled demolition. So when they tell me there's people running around in the sewers in New York City, I can only go back to the movies that I've seen that talks about water mains or water pipes being bursted underneath the ground. One was The Flash. The very first scene in The Flash, where Barry goes and saves the children from the hospital. Batman's chauffeur. I can't even think of his name off the top of my head now. Batman's chauffeur, his little sidekick dude. He told Barry there's water pipes busted in the basement. Then you go to the Super Mario movie, the first one, where they were sitting around watching TV at home, and then they said it was like a problem with the pipes underneath Brooklyn, which caused this water to flow up from the sewer manholes. And they say, oh, somebody saved Brooklyn. And Mario and Luigi go there, and the whole Brooklyn is underwater. Then you go to The Batman with Robert Pattinson. And then when they had that that politician do a speech, all the water flew into the Madison Square Garden. Again, like almost a flood. Then it was Dark Knight Rises, where the police officers were trapped underneath and there was bombs going off in the city. Like, I mean, they put it right in front of your face. Something's going to happen. It ain't people just down there for no reason and they're not even getting caught. And they're just doing a story on it, but it's been going on for a couple of months now. So who knows what they're actually doing? It could be down there banging on something or just making something weak. And also, you remember the movie Ghostbusters 2? When the artwork Vigo came to life? You remember how they went down into the sewers and they found that pink sludge that was coming up from the ground, coming up from the sewers into like bathtubs and stuff when they tried to snatch that boy? And what did they do when they were down there? They accidentally kicked something, and the whole entire New York City went to a blackout. So the power lines are underground. I'm just saying they're setting it up real nice. They're setting it up real nice. If you remember the second Ghostbuster, not the newest Ghostbuster when they used the children, I think it was called Ghostbusters Afterlife. And the very end scene of that movie is the Ecto-1, the Ghostbuster mobile, having its lights on, going into New York. That was a telltale sign. And of course, they did the next Ghostbusters with them in the New York City. So I'm telling you, they're just setting it up real nice. They're letting the programming program itself. Did you see the, I think it was funny. Did you see the little robot Olympics in China or Asia, wherever they were? Then they talk about overpopulation and it's too many people. Yeah, I thought the fastest way to depopulate is through disease and war. And yet they're trying to find reasons to put robots on the battlefield. What would be the point? If these people love bloodshed so much and they love taking life, why are they so forceful into making everything robotics? Why do you want military to have robots? I mean, I think it's pointless if you're talking about overpopulation. But they're trying to remove all facets of human existence on any level, military, politics, your home, school, pretty soon relationships. I mean, They're getting pretty good with these little sex robots and sex models. So man or woman don't even have to bother with each other no more. And that's what they wanted. Now, this Dolly Parton situation, I think it's incredibly sad that she went 70 years without doing devil horns, 70 years without mentioning Azazel, 70 years without talking about dancing and going to hell, 70 years with almost like a squeaky clean image, that soon as she got into her late 70s, now she wants to talk about Azazel and doing devil horns. And it's so cringy because it's like they forced her to do it and she's trying to make it natural. And I'm referring to when she was giving Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift her blessings and said that if they ever have a child, to let them have the child. And then she did the devil horns on the side while saying that, which is really odd that they do this, but this is what they're called to do. And it still didn't save her. It still didn't save her. All what she did in her last years, it still didn't save her. Her doing this little Christmas special, talking about go to hell and all that, it still didn't save her. Her wearing red and black, or, you know, mostly red, and some of her interviews and videos joking about that she's not dead, that she's still alive, it still did not save her. And I don't know how these people don't see it. If they know that people in the industry are getting sacrificed, how do they not even try to work out their own sacrifice? Like, I would be scared to go certain places or be around certain people because you know where it would be coming from. And the fact that her goddaughter is Miley Cyrus, I mean, that's, you might as well just handed your head on a silver platter. You know, if you were ever being sacrificed, that's exactly where it would be coming from. You were so close to this girl all throughout her career. And then she told on herself. She kept saying, or she said once, for what I know, she said that August 25th was a very special day for her. So the things that she's done on August 25th was Hannah Montana premiered on Disney Channel, 2006, August 25th. 2010, August 25th. Miley and Liam Hemsworth reportedly separated for the first time. Wrecking Ball, 2013, came out on August 25th. Her 2013 VMA performance with Robin Thicke, when she was wearing that little chicken suit and she looked weird with a little awkward body, that was on August 25th. 2017, she released Younger Now. 2023, same date, Used to Be Young. And then Billy Ray Cyrus's birthday is on August 25th. So if you are this girl's godmother, and you know how this industry works, why wouldn't you ever think, like, if you were ever be sacrificed, that's exactly the day they will catch you on. And that was the day she was caught on. August 25th, 8 plus 25 is 33. Miley Cyrus did that sacrifice while she was 33. And then she promoted her new album, which she said is going to be her new era. And of course, they did the one eye symbolism, and it's red and black, which is perfect colors for sacrifice. But she did this promotion in New York City, and New York City in numerology is 33, as well as 666. So you got Miley Cyrus, 33, Dolly Parton dying, 825, which is 33, and New York being 33. You add those numbers up, you get a 666. Whew. Horrible way to go. Horrible way to go. All of that for your entire lifetime till you got up to the 70s. Now you want to go into light Satanism and you get, you know, removed for it. And then they try to say, like, oh, it was cancer. This woman was out here performing all the way up to the time that she died. It wasn't no cancer. That's like the easiest cop-out. Oh, it was quick cancer. Like, it don't work. I mean, cancer is fast, but it ain't that fast. It is not that fast. Thought that was wild. And as you see, when it comes to the end of this whole Lindsey Clancy trial, you see now they're trying to make jokes on it. The lawyer had a tell a dude stop laughing when he was questioning him. Then the girl in the green dress, she got fired from Vanity Fair, Brittany Romano, because she was in there drunk, smiling and laughing. I mean, then there was another girl behind her who was Jewish. She was laughing and joking. And when they panned the camera around, like, now they trying to make it lighthearted because they're done with the ritual now. It's coming down to the end where they got to move on. And that's usually what they do. They make fun of something, or somebody, like a celebrity, steps in and tries to divert the attention from the actual cause. That's when they want you to be over something. So this whole court case is coming down to its last leg. And by that time, now it's already set up for men who are married to these women who went on TikTok and talked about how they had these intrusive thoughts of harming their children. Now there's already been an uptick of men going into the court system and trying to get sole custody, or trying to reprimand the mother's time with their children because of the things that they're posting, and trying to relate themselves to Lindsay Clancy. And I said that in the last episode, this was going to happen. Fathers are going to see that, and exactly what's going to happen. Fathers are going to see that, like, nah, I'm not doing this. Especially when men are very close from not even wanting to be married. And now they see that they left their children behind to somebody who's posting about unaliving them. It's wild. It's such a wild time. But this is exactly what they wanted. Like, the Jews are attacking the white family structure. You see how, like I said, the curses leave us. It has to turn over on somebody else. So those who are not connected to the truth, they're getting these curses. And for us Negroes, we should already be done with these curses, in these generational curses. We should really be turning over a new leaf and leaving these curses alone, so they do not come and get us at a time where the sowing and the reaping are so close together with each other. I mean, like I said, look at what happened to these women. These women were posting on TikTok, and already within 2 to 3 weeks, I've seen pages getting deleted and people getting CPS called on them. I've seen lawyers get on TV right after, almost when this trial is about to be over. Lawyers are talking about how men are coming to them and taking the evidence from their TikTok and saving it. Now it makes no sense for them to delete it now. It's too late. That's what they done with social media. That's why they want to attach that blue check mark to everything. That's why they want you to have a subscription fee to X. That's why they want this. They want you locked in. My homeboy, who's a Haitian that was in my wedding, my homeboy in New York, which is funny to me and ironic because he's married to a Jew. My homeboy got an Instagram page, and he could not keep his thoughts to himself, and he just went ham talking about Jews on a page that is set up to try to demean Jews, which is like a honeypot. It was bait. That's what you're going to see. When you see these pages go so hard in on Jews, and you don't see them being reprimanded, or you don't see their pages getting struck or even suspended, those pages are set up for you to engage. And when they are doing, what they are doing is tracking who's engaging on these pages. That is why they've been bragging about, oh, we got this team to this team for that. This team is going to expose this. I'm telling you, they making these fake pages and bringing up all the things that people would pretty much agree with when it comes to Jews, and they're tracking all the accounts. So my man went ham in the comment section talking about Jews. So they deleted his page. He tried to come back, and before he wrote anything, they deleted that page. And I asked him, how are you signing up back into Instagram? He said he's using his email and his telephone number. I said, now, because your IP address is on your phone, and now they know that your phone number and your email is linked to your IP address to your phone, now anytime you open up a page, they're going to delete it. Regardless if you ain't doing nothing, regardless if you're not even commenting, that is what's going on now. So he was already a prime example, the guinea pig of this social experiment, that if you say something, they're tracking it. And they purposely putting these pages together for you to be radicalized with anti-Semitism. So they have a reason to take your pages, and not just taking your pages, they can label you a domestic terrorist. And I told him this. I said, you live in New York. He lives in Long Island City, but you live in New York where they have flock cameras. Now they're going to know and ping your phone, and they're going to know where you are. So say you walk around a Hebrew school. They could easily send the cops to your location. They could send it to your location and harass you and ask you, you must be there to do something terrible because of what you said on social media. There were already two videos about police coming to somebody's door with what they said on social media, what they said on Facebook. Now, mind you, they're going to try people who are not attached to the Ruach HaKodesh because they don't want that smoke. Imagine them pulling up, like for me, pulling up to me. And I give them, hey, look, da-da-da-da-da, and I'm filming it. That will go viral. That would be a hard time for them to suppress that type of information. So people they know aren't attached to the truth or living the real truth in the Torah, they're unprotected. That's why the Most High wanted us to know the truth, because the truth would set us free. We are not bound by the same laws of this land that they are. Not even spiritual laws. So the reason why they won't be coming around us until the time will come when they will, it's because we're following the statutes, the commandments. That's our hedge. That's our protection. Now, the ones that are unprotected are doing the most wildest things. How many cases are we going to see of somebody murdering 8 family members? This is like the third time. There was one in July 24th. 2026, guy named Christopher, I don't know his last name, but he fatally shot his wife, Amanda, and their 6 children before setting fire to the home and dying by suicide. 8 total family members. And then there was a second one, August 23rd, 2026, Alan Smith opened fire on his relatives during a family gathering at a residence, setting the house ablaze before suffering a self-inflicted gunshot wound. 8 relatives. And then there was a guy, a black guy, Shamar Elkins, I think his name was, and he unalived 8 children and then himself. Like, that don't make sense to me. Are these stories real, or are they cover for something else? Or is it just a spell that they want you at a time where you can't afford the mortgage or you can't afford rent, that the best you could do is just to unalive everybody in the household and then burn the entire house down so you don't want nobody to get it as a middle finger or a ha-ha that if I can't have the house, no one else will. Is that what they want going on? Because usually people just copycat. I mean, like I said, it acts as a spell. Like, they must know that when the financial system is rocking and it's in crisis, and people can't pay their mortgage and their house goes into foreclosure. I mean, if you already if you've been having this lovely life and you never had to struggle, and you don't want to struggle in front of your kids, you don't want to struggle in front of your wife, and you let pride and ego set in that you don't want to downsize, I could see how people would, that would jump into their minds. That thought would, well, you might as well commit suicide and unalive everybody. You might as well put everybody out their misery, because you don't want that shame of them telling you, like, oh, our father committed suicide. So you think about that shame that your kids would tell about you when you failed, or your wife remarrying somebody else and somebody else raised the kids. So you, that prideful and that egotistical, it'd be like, no, everybody's going to go with me. And then you take the house with you. I mean, it seems like that's a spell that they want casted out. And you might see that more than you would like. But I think it's weird that it's been 8 family members in 3 separate situations. Well, like I said, prepare, because this is all mentioned in Second Baruch. Second Baruch, chapter 27. Let me go to it. Where it says, and he answered and said unto me, in 12 parts is the time divided, and each one of them is reserved for that which is appointed for it. In the first part, there shall be beginning of commotions. In the second part, there shall be slaying of the great ones. The great ones could be the people that we, you know, exalt in this country, actors, actresses, you know, sports stars, you know, politicians. And in the third part, the fall of many by death. That could be famine. I mean, Bill Gates is bragging that it's going to be a billion people that's going to die by some illness. And you know that they're messing with these mosquitoes out here. I don't know what for. They're messing with something that these mosquitoes can't breed properly or something like that. Like Microsoft released, I think, like more than enough mosquitoes, genetically modified mosquitoes out in Florida and some other parts as well. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get struck with one of them and that's how you get the sickness. I don't know. But Bill Gates been bragging about, oh yeah, a billion people are going to die. And then the fourth part, the sending of the sword. That means everybody's having their own civil wars, race wars, gender wars, whatever. And then the fifth part, famine and withholding of rain. They're selling in Costco, I've seen, these big drums where you can hold rainwater. But I thought getting rainwater was illegal or catching it was illegal. But they're selling these big drums to people. And people are saying that they're putting rainwater in it. So it must be a drought that's going to happen. In the sixth part, earthquakes and terrorists. That's already happened. There's been 187 earthquakes near the Gulf of Mexico. Like I'm talking about the Gulf of Mexico, Texas, California, Hawaii, around that region. 187. And then the sixth part, wanting, which means people not having enough resource. And in the eighth part, a multitude of specters and attacks of Shadim, attacks of demonic ruachs. And then the ninth part, the fall of fire. It goes back to, again, Miley Cyrus's promo for her new album. She makes the sky of the New York skyline red. And if you go back to Leave the World Behind, the very last scene in that movie when the little girl pops in the friend's DVD, they change the color because the background is all red in the New York skyline. And in the 10th part, raping and much oppression. Raping means a lot of theft, a lot of stealing. That's already been happening. People literally going in to CVS and Walgreens and just taking and bagging deodorant or whatever they want into a bag and just walking right out and nobody's really stopping them. And the 11th part, wickedness and unchastity. You can see that all through the black community where they're pushing hypersexuality on everybody. These women are wearing these overweight Negro women where their boobs out, their butts out, their stomachs out, talking about Plan B pills, talking about not effing a broke N-word, and all that twerking they do on the streets. That's what the music video scene has gone now. It's gone to like guerrilla music videos where people are setting up a camera and they're just in the street of a cul-de-sac twerking all on the ground. And in the 12th part, confusion from the mingling together of all those things Afro said. For these parts of that time are reserved and shall be mingled one with another and minister one to another. But some shall leave out some of their own and receive it instead from others, and some complete their own and that of others, so that those may not understand who are upon the earth in those days, that this is a consummation of the times. And you can truly see it. You can truly see it, especially with the whole stupor, especially with these mothers and this Lindsay. That really exposed the mentality of people in this generation. That it didn't even take much, really. It didn't even take much. It's almost like it was waiting to happen. Now, you couple that with gender, you couple that with the gender war, you couple that with the race war, and we all set. And then on top of that, you got COVID making a comeback. You got COVID-19 making a comeback. They said it's already spreading. So when they need to really shake up the financial system, they'd rather have you in your house being shooken up. They don't want you in the streets. Well, this is, like what I said it again before in previous episodes. They don't have the power to do mass death. That's on the Most High if he wants mass casualties in whatever thing that he wants to do. That's on the Most High. They don't have the power to do mass death. Now, they did those two atomic bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I mean, they did those, but the Most High greenlit that. Most High let that go. Since then, there has not been a extreme large casualty because of what man did. I mean, those days are coming. But if they had, they have the power to do that now, and they just don't do it. So the fact that they're bringing COVID back, COVID-19 back, which means they want people in the house when this transition takes place. They don't want all these people out in the streets. They want a smooth transition. They want to be the ability to flip this new system on, and you didn't go back to work. They'd rather you suffer in your house before that, before you take to the streets and just tear up everything. Like, mind you, people are going to do what they want anyways, but they would rather have the casualties be small. Again, it doesn't really go along with the whole the world's overpopulated and we got to kill off a billion people type of thing. Like, usually you would want everybody to act out and go haywire so you can bring in the order and take out as many people as you can. But it don't seem like that's going to be the case. But anyway, that has nothing really to do with us. I'm just saying we should be prepared at least. At least. You see these rolling blackouts that's going on. And I said this before in episodes a long, long time ago. I said when they want you to agree with something, they start moving the chains a little bit at a time. They don't hit like a 50-yard bomb. They don't throw a Hail Mary right into it. No, they move the chains 5 yards, 2 yards, 3 yards, 7 yards, 1 yard, 3 yards, then 10 yards. That's how they moving. As long as you're agreeing, they're moving the chains. And I said this when the bridge in Philadelphia on 95, when that bridge blew up, I said they're trying to move close as they can to New York. And that's when New York started getting hit with all these weird little explosions or rumored explosions and fire from Canada going into New York. This was all just to make you okay with the idea of normality. Destruction is normal. Fire in the sky is normal. Floods are normal. Mass death, normal. So the whole time they were moving the chains, getting to where we are right now, which was those blackouts. And they already had a blackout in New York in, I think, 2003. Or was it 2003 or 2023? Well, they had blackouts in New York where people were just literally getting on ferries and trying to leave out of the city to go to Long Island or Staten Island, but it was bad. So that was a social experiment. They wanted to see how people were going to react to a blackout. So people in Indiana, where else they having blackouts? Indiana, I think Arizona is on a blackout. A couple of the cities or states are having rolling blackouts. I know down south in Mississippi, they having problems with blackouts. Like I said, it's a social experiment and watching and seeing what you're going to do. And the more you are okay with it, the more they're going to continue to do it. And mind you, it's not enough of us to be aware and be like, okay, we know what they're doing. We know who they're doing it for and who they're doing it with. Let us stop their plan. It ain't going to ever happen because this is how it's supposed to go. We're not supposed to stop anything. We are supposed to prepare our households individually and stay behind the hedge that the Most High has built up for us and just wait it out. This, like I said, this is not our battle. This is not our fight. This is not our war. We are merely on the chessboard. We are merely being moved around so we are not touched. And the Most High is not going to allow us to get touched. So be thankful that he has brought you into this truth and he has opened your eyes, because he's not opened everybody else's eyes. When he talked about a remnant, it was very few remnant that's going to be saved. Few. That number is few. So be glad. And also do not take your position for granted. Ever. Because it can easily be taken from you if you wanted to be disobedient to the Torah. Also, I wanted to mention this. I don't know who else may have gone or going through this, but I had talked to a brother and he was going through it, and I gave him an advice on what he should do when it comes to custody hearings. If any of you out there that's going through a custody battle with your wife or with your baby mom or what have you, my advice to you is you do not need a lawyer. It's very easy for you to Google a template of whatever you're going after, if it's time sharing, visitation, child support, whatever it is, they have templates online that you can just work from. All you got to do is remove wherever the template you get it from. If you live in New York and they have like an Arizona template, just type over that. I think you can even buy like a template. Like it's like $5.99 or something. You can buy a template where they can structure it for you. All you got to do is write in the case number, write in the court, whatever district court you're in, and then you can write exactly what you want. Buy the template. And then all you got to do is deliver it to the family division of the courthouse. It's very easy. You don't have to pay $3,000 to $5,000 just for a lawyer to type out paperwork and then file it electronically. You could do that yourself. I did that in Miami-Dade. I went down to the family division. It's on the 15th floor. I went in there, paid like what, $20 or $10 to file it. And then you sit back and you wait for a court date and you go yourself. And the judge has to hear both sides. And the thing about judges is they always try to play as if they're not favorable to either side. So they're going to judge you and then they're going to judge her. But at the end of the day, the law states that all parents have the ability to get 50-50 visitation rights with their children. If it has never been something crazy as you beating the child or you get caught with your pants down around your child and all that, if it's none of that, you have a very good chance of getting 50-50 with your child. That's for you fathers who feel like you don't want to spend time with your child because you know it's going to be a battle and you don't want to go to court because you think that's going to be a financial battle as well. It's rarely fairly easy. And the reason why they make the process difficult and the reason why they use all this difficult language is so you can hire, guess who? The same proselytes that owned the slave ships that brought us up over here. So, of course, they ain't going to really work hard to make sure you see your child. They're going to do whatever it takes to draw it out, and you still continue to pay them by hour or by whatever payment you pay them by filing paperwork. They want to drag it on. Most lawyers don't even like family incidents because they really want to go after the insurance stuff and stuff that really has money behind it. Family court don't really have money behind it. So they really probably got a set oath is to make sure you keep paying child support and you never see your child. You forget that they're working with our enemies, or they are our enemies. They don't care about fathers like that out here. So be smart enough to learn their system. They're not going to tell you how to do it because you wouldn't rely on the lawyers that they provide. So I don't know if anybody else is going through that, but I definitely wanted to share the information and tell you that it is possible, especially through the Ruach HaKodesh. You can really get it done yourself if you just rely on the Most High Yahuwah. So I'll see you Sunday. It's going to be a great Pesach. I'm excited, especially with the new calendar and the understanding and actually trying to be as perfect as I can be each time I do the feast day. That's what you should aim for, to be perfect each time you do a feast day or a set apart day. That is proving our faith. And while we are being proved in that faith, the Most High is not going to suffer us to move. He is not going to upend you in the middle of a feast day. He's not going to upend you when you're in the middle of offering. He's not going to upend you or have the enemies come near you to vex you if you are aiming to go forward and to be perfect in all of his feast days.